Hello, everyone. Hello, loved ones. Welcome to Infinite Love Radio, enlightening conversations, inspiring guests. I'm Michelle Morovati, your host. I'm a spiritual healer, teacher, and author of 101 Transformational Insights for Mind, Body, and Soul. My global vision is to connect people to people just like you to create oneness, and through support and universal guidance, educate people just like you and I about the power within to heal oneself and others. Simply, I am here to love myself and love you all. You can learn more about me by visiting www.spiritualityinsideandout.com. And as well, it's a perfect opportunity for you to sign up for the Universal Daily Insights at www.spiritualityinsideandout/insights. Great. As always, I invite all of your questions, comments, and suggestions to infinitelovradio@yahoo.com or michelle@spiritualityinsideandout.com. At this time, we're having a special, a wonderful special on a Tools for Life CD set that I'd like to give you a little more information about. These CDs are here to help you, to support you, in living a soulful life, a connected life to your true self inside and out. The topics are forgiveness, healing with love, higher wisdom self, your inner child, releasing fear and anger, procrastination to motivation and inspiration. This is a special offer, 30% off for the CDs and 45% off for downloads. So you can check these CDs out at www.insidenow.com/special offer. Just wanted to put that out there for any of you that are interested in a soulful, connected life through yours truly. And now, today and every day, my highest intention is to support you to awaken to your true self in the present moment and to cause and create oneness inside and out. Thank you for your participation and this opportunity for me to serve you. I am truly grateful as my heart is open to you, expanding right here, right now, as I'm connecting to you one by one on these airwaves. I love you all. On today's show, I will be sharing with you a prayer, just like always, followed by a very special, inspiring guest, and I'm talking inspiring. Her name is Stephanie Risley. She's a hypnotherapist and author of Love from Both Sides, a true story of soul survival and sacred sexuality. Wow. She's had a very exciting life, Stephanie. At 19 years old, she almost died, but had a classic near-death experience. Excuse me. She saw the golden light and got pulled back into a body that was full of pain. Wow. And I said that she's a hypnotherapist. She's a certified hypnotherapist and was trained by Brian Weiss to do past life regressions. There's so much to talk about her book and her life experience and her recovery of systematic lupus, that I share her feelings, her emotions about that disease as I went through the healing myself. We'll have the opportunity later on in the show as we will speak about her book and her experiences, her hypnotherapy practice, all. And for more information about Stephanie, please visit www.stephanierisley.com. That's R-I-S-E-L-E-Y.com. For now, I invite all of you to join me and Stephanie right here, right now, as we unite on the air, as we open up our hearts to ourselves, to the God within, to our true self, to our authentic self, to our spirit inside and out, who we are as truly beautiful emanations of the light. Can we receive? Yes, we can receive this truth today. Are we willing? I say yes. Let us all open up to our will inside and say we are open and receptive to receiving the light inside and out, the love inside and out, the peace, the joy, the wisdom, the willingness, the openness to all that is. For this show is really a revealing of our true selves. In this moment, I invite you to share with me a couple of deep cleansing breaths in to bring ourselves into the present moment. Here we go. I invite you to breathe in for the first one. Deep cleansing breath in. And exhaling with an ah. The intention really is to allow yourself to relax from head to toe as you breathe in. And breathe out with an ah, releasing any tension in your throat, in your head, in your shoulders, in your back, in your arms, in your abdomen, in your legs, all the way down. Good job. Here we go. Another deep cleansing breath in. And again, exhaling with an ah. Allowing yourself to release the tension. The tension in your thoughts, the tension in your heart, the tension in your organs, in your muscles, in your spine, all the way through, allowing the energy to flow up and down in your whole body. Excellent. One more. Go for it. Another deep cleansing breath in. And again, exhaling with an ah. In this present moment is the breath of life, right where I am, right where our guest is, right where you are, right where the allness is the breath of life as we accept it right here, right now, saying yes, life, yes to life, yes to the love and light of God, of the universe, of the allness, of the source of all good, all blessings, all grace, all beauty, all wisdom, all healing, all inspiration. We are here together in this lifetime. Let us rejoice with open hearts is my invitation to you, to myself, and to all that is. Accepting all of our blessings and the grace of love and light in this moment. Thank you for who we are, what we are, and all that we are blessed. We are really, truly grateful for every little thing that we have in our life. We are truly, truly grateful. And with this I say I love you all, and so it is. Thank you for being present. Taking this time to reintroduce our wonderful guest, Stephanie Risley, hypnotherapist, author of Love from Both Sides, a true story of soul survival and sacred sexuality. Thank you. And here we go. Welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking time out from your very busy schedule, your book tour, and all the radio shows and TV shows that you're doing to be present with us. Thank you.
Well, it's a pleasure.
Well, Stephanie, there's so much to talk about, and all of our listeners. I would really like to start with your near-death accident, near-death experience, my language today. Okay, I'm here. I'm present with all of you.
I forgot the invocation there. That was great. I am a hypnotherapist, and when I do the therapy sessions, it's really what I'm trying to get everyone to do is just to be thankful for the moment. But back to the near-death experience, I didn't have the benefit of the 61 years of life that I had when I was 19. And when I was 19, I had a fairly traumatic childhood that benefited me well, that benefits me well now. But
sure.
I had pericarditis, bilateral lung effusions, and I was in so much pain that emotionally, and I think that's, I literally had a weeping heart, and the weeping heart filled up my lungs with tears, and by the time somebody got me into the hospital, I just really wanted out. I was so depressed, and teenage suicide is rampant, and it's really because teenagers don't have the benefit. They don't have, developed brains enough to understand that there's more to life than that moment. And I was a typical
right.
teenager, and I was so depressed about everything, the state of the world and the state of my own emotional stuff, that I think that is what literally propelled me into dying. And by the time I got into the hospital, I had this 19-year-old body that I just hated because it was 50 pounds overweight. And they laid me down, and I just wanted to die. And I just, it was as if I had a pole above my head, and I could choose to let go. And I was in so much pain, I went, yeah, let go. And I just felt myself sliding toward what I knew was peace. It was an amber light. And I knew I was dying, and I was so happy.
How did you know you were dying? Let's stop right here, if we may.
How did I know
you were dying? How?
There's no way to explain.
Okay.
There was a knowingness.
Yes.
All of a sudden, I knew. I went. I was going. And this was before Elizabeth Kubler-Ross ever did her research or Dr. Morris or anybody or any of the teachers that are so Dr. Moody. This is 1966, and I knew it. Like you know, the sky is blue. That you know, that's like asking, how do you know the sky is blue?
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to.
Yeah, how do you know the sky is blue?
It's blue. Knowing.
So why is it blue? But but at that moment. At that moment where I was about to enter what I knew was death, there it was as if a hand grabbed me by the scruff of the neck and pulled me back into my body. And at that moment, I was in searing pain. But I knew, I mean, I had an awareness that I would live. And at that moment, it was not good news. But once it was as if my 120 trillion thinking, listening cells yelled at me, you know, you may want to die, but we don't, because every cell has a little mind of its own. And so those cells that said, you know, we're going to live, and you're coming along for the ride.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And here you are. Now, let me clear a little bit here, and for our listeners, is this when you had your lupus
that
you went to the hospital?
Yes.
So you did your. This is when you had your lupus, and your lupus had attacked your heart,
my lungs and my heart.
Yes. So you were in pretty bad
and my
shape.
Joints. I mean,
and
at 18,
joints.
I couldn't walk.
I'm sorry?
At 18, I couldn't walk. They first thought I had rheumatoid arthritis. So,
right.
And so I was taking 12 aspirins a day, and then it went to 40 milligrams of cortisone a day.
Right. So for someone that's a lupus survivor myself, as you know, and for any of the listeners, I am too. It's amazing that you're on this show and we're sharing this together. But mine was central nervous system. But as well, I couldn't really walk. I was like halfway paralyzed. So going back to your story, Stephanie, wow, you wanted to die, but this force said, no, it's not your time.
No, the force said, you know, you have work to do. So, but I didn't know what it was.
Right.
Whatever it was, I was going to have to do it and figure it out. I think, you know, we all come in with a purpose imperative. We all are needed here. We all have purposes. But it's as if nobody tells you your purpose. Your job is to figure it out.
Right.
And to make a difference.
Right. Exactly. Make a difference and share.
Yeah, and that's the only way anybody can ever be happy. And that's
right.
Really what everybody wants, is they want happiness. And most people think that it's about finding love. That's what the book is kind of about. It's
yes.
Like we all run around going, I need to find my true love, my true love, my true love.
Right.
And ultimately finding the connection with your true source is the true love.
Yes. Inside of us. Yes, touching upon our life purpose and our mission here. As a child, I always had this feeling, this knowing, this urge that somehow I want to help people, you know, but I really didn't know, and there was no one that I could really talk to open enough for me to share this. And, well, I wasn't probably open enough to share it, right? Not that they weren't. I wasn't open enough. And I found my life purpose through my healing with lupus. I became very clear as I heard the voice inside of me is for you to be a healer and to help people find and learn and be empowered about, you know, with the power within themselves that they can heal. And so let's see how you healed yourself from lupus. What steps did you take?
Well, I because I had my lupus so young, I think you had yours later in life. Mine and it was the time it was, big medicine was all powerful. So by the time I was 23, 24, I was losing, I'd lost most of my hair. I was losing my hip joints. And I was it was impossible. I was up in Berkeley and I didn't have parents at the time and I didn't know quite what to do. And somebody gave me a book called Food is Your Best Medicine by a doctor named Henry Beeler. And when you're open for a different approach, the gods send you something. And I met a man who said, well, I know a person. Why are you all? He came to me and he said, why are you always in the hospital? I said, well, I have systemic lupus erythematosus. I mean, I just threw it at him. And he said, oh, I know somebody who has that. But she went to this crazy health food doctor down in Capistrano. And I had read Food is Your Best Medicine, or my sister had given it to me. And I said, give me her name. And I went over. I talked to this woman, and she told me that she went to that she was in Menninger's clinic and she was dying, but her father pulled her out and took her to Henry Beeler. So I literally wrote a little letter to Henry Beeler, and I said, "Please see me." And
did you change your diet?
He did, and I did. I went down and saw him in 1970. And he said, you will do this, 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 and you'll get off the 60 milligrams of cortisone. He was 90 years old at the time. I did exactly what he said. And within 6 months, it took a year and 6 months, actually, to get off all of that cortisone because I had to go house. And then it took another 10 years after that to get my full body strength back.
Right. Stephanie, just allow me in this moment to give this message out to the listeners. We are not saying for you to stop your traditional medicine by all means or stop taking medicine. Please be clear. This is not the intention of this show or this sharing. I really have to.
No, had a rheumatologist by my side.
Exactly.
I always double teamed.
Yes. Same here. I had my rheumatologist. I went back for my testing regularly until I knew that I'm completely healed and I can take, I can go off the medicine. So please be clear out there.
Oh yes.
Stay with your doctors.
Yes. No, big medicine is appropriate for big things. I mean, I put both feet in both camps. And although I love acupuncture, I do energy work now. I do all kinds of things.
Did Iyengar yoga?
Yes, I do Iyengar yoga. I love Iyengar yoga.
And acupuncture and all kinds of stuff. And this was what supported you in healing with your lupus, all of this?
I'm having a little trouble hearing you. So.
Okay. So we're talking about your healing of lupus. So you change your food habits, changing your diet.
I changed everything.
Okay.
Yeah, because
I was
in a typical teenager. I thought a Bob's Big Boy was dinner. I thought cereal with milk was breakfast, and that a hot dog was lunch.
Okay. Wow.
I look back on it and I go, how did I ever grow?
Wow. Stephanie, how about your thoughts? How did your thoughts affect your disease, your body? How did they weaken it, or how did they cause pain? Did you ever address that part, your thoughts? Maybe we're having a bad connection here. Excuse me. How did your thoughts that you've been holding
The thoughts are everything. I mean, that's what I came to believe. In the 70s, I read the Jane Roberts books, the channeled books, the Seth Speaks, I think it's Create Your Own Reality, The Nature of Personal Reality. And in those books, those are very clear books, and they resonate. If you take any kind of philosophy courses, they resonate with what Plato said, with what Aristotle said, even with what Spinoza says. But in terms of your thoughts, creating your body. And with my own clients now, I get them to go and read Bruce Lipton's work, which I love. And he's the researcher from out of the University of Wisconsin who studies cell biology and really proved clinically that your thinking literally controls the health of each and every cell of your body. Now, it's stunning what thinking can do. And from my own experience, because I was such an unhappy teenager and such a traumatized child, it is no wonder that my body tried to destroy itself. I mean, an autoimmune disease is your body turning on itself.
Right.
And
don't I know it? I know
don't we
it.
Both?
That's what you're talking about.
But, you know, it's cheering yourself up all the time that is so essential to good health. And with my clients, I'm always asking them, is everything okay this 15 seconds? And if everything is okay this 15 seconds, you can make yourself happy. And ultimately, the progression of your life is a progression of 15-second increments. And if you can keep yourself focused on appreciating what is, you can be happy. You can control it, and then you attract happiness to you. And you attract what you want in the world. It is a miracle that this book ever got published. By
absolutely.
That's the miracle.
Absolutely.
I mean, there was no way in the world, nobody thought I would ever get this book published.
Right. And we're going to talk about this book, Stephanie, as I take this opportunity to reintroduce you to all of our wonderful guests that may have just joined us.
Uh-huh.
This is Infinite Love Radio. I'm Michelle Morvati, your host. We've been speaking to Stephanie Risley, who's a hypnotherapist and author of Love from Both Sides. For more information about Stephanie and her amazing life experience, please visit www.stephanierisley.com. We've been speaking about her healing of lupus and lifestyle changes and how our thoughts affect our bodies, our cells, head to toe, and how we can, with our own will, change everything. Inside and out, as I always say. Now, Stephanie, let's talk about your wonderful... what's the word for this book?
What's the word for this book?
Entertaining. Entertaining, but yet so authentic and real. And I really appreciate your openness, beginning to end. Some parts of it, I was like, whoa.
Yes, there are a lot of parts that are like, whoa, for a lot of people. Yeah, so, you know. But there was no way to tell the story truthfully without being as truthful as I was in the book. And it's really a journey. And it's a journey in, it's about finding the love of your life and then losing it and then reconnecting with it after he dies in my arms. And that's what actually happened. And people talk about finding their soulmate.
Right.
But, you know, I try to tell my clients that when you find your soulmate, there's work to be done. It doesn't mean that it's bliss.
No, there's always work to be done as long as we're
here. There's always work to be done. And that's the challenge and that's the fun. If we were perfect humans, if we were perfect people, we wouldn't be incarnated into these fabulous bodies.
Absolutely.
It's only being in these bodies that we have the opportunity to make the mistakes and then overcome the challenges that we've given ourselves on the other side.
Absolutely.
You can't be a hero to yourself unless you create challenges and overcome them.
Exactly. So, Stephanie, for our listeners that are there, what is she talking about? So we're talking about your husband that he proposed to you on the fourth date.
He did propose to me on the fourth date.
And you said yes.
And I was 42 years old, and I tell you, every time I tell that to a girl who's 40 or 42, she goes, yes, let it happen to me.
I'm 41, so I'm like, okay, we'll see.
Yes, well, but the interesting thing about that is that even though he proposed to me on the fourth date, he proposed to me on the fourth date because, for some very male reasons, quite honestly, because there was someone else standing in the wings. But we actually, in terms of a soul thing, we were destined to meet in 1970 when he lived around the corner from me in Berkeley. And literally, every time I would walk down this street called Ellsworth, I lived, for anybody who knows Berkeley, I lived on Carlton, he lived on Parker, and Ellsworth stood between the two of us. And I would walk down this street toward the campus, and when I would get to Parker, my brain would pop into, I'm Sadie, Sadie, married lady. And because it was 1970 and you weren't supposed to want to get married, I was thinking to myself, oh, my God, I'm so retro and terrible, I have to get that thought out of my brain. But I had just passed the man who was destined for me, and a part of me knew it. Mm-hmm. I went so far as to go and do my laundry in his basement in 1970, and still my stubborn husband would not meet me. I mean, there's only so much
oh
a girl
God,
can do, right?
So, interesting.
So, I mean, I remember the physicalness of his being next to me when I think back on it, because they're very vivid memories. They're
that's
moments
funny.
In time that I knew something was happening.
Right.
They're like
so
snapshots.
Listen, he proposed to you on the fourth day. You guys got married.
He would,
and
yeah.
12 years later, I'm sorry?
12 okay. years later, yeah.
12 years later, God bless his soul, he passed away, and from what I got is that your hand was on his heart when his heart stopped beating.
Yes. Yes, I was lying in bed in the intensive care unit with him, and I was in such denial about his dying because it didn't occur to me that this big, strong, gorgeous man could die. He was so strong. And as I crawled into bed, I saw the little machine, and it said pulse too weak to register, and I thought to myself, well, the machine is broken. And I got into bed, and that's the denial I was in. And I had my hand on his heart, and I was just lying next to him, and I could feel his energy, and suddenly his heart stopped beating. And it was such a shock to me, but at that same moment, I could feel his spirit, his energy, whoosh through me, and I heard behind me, as if he was on the wall behind me, free at last, thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. And I went, excuse me? Free of what? Free of me? Free of us? You can't do this.
Right.
I've tried so hard to save you, but at that, it was like there was all this stuff going on too fast. In the room, however, was my stepson, Sam, and he just stood there wide-eyed. Now, he's a vice president at Fox now. At that time, he was just sitting on a desk answering phones. But so he was sitting there just going, ah! And later on that night, he said, you know, Dad came into me, and he said, Sam, I'm not dead. I mean, I'm dead, but this is far out. I'm not dead. And then continued.
I hear you're so excited, but let's stop for a minute, if you don't mind. So he said, I'm free at last, at last. So this meant for him free of the pain and suffering?
Free of the pain, yes.
Yes,
this was a man who had never been sick a day.
I'm sorry?
He had never been sick a day in his life.
Okay.
He did not know about pain. He did not know that a body could turn on you. You see, that's what being sick gives you. You're careful with your body.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So he said, I'm free of the pain and suffering that we experience
yes.
physically. And when
yeah,
he
had
passed,
leukemia.
He no longer had those feelings, those emotions, those... Okay, yeah. I just want to put it out there for the listeners, because you and I know what you're talking about, but the listeners may not.
Yeah,
so,
he was free of the...
I have to stop
the
you,
he was free of the body that he had betrayed him.
Right.
The body that he took so for granted. If you have health, you never, ever understand that the body can be a problem, because it is. It's like always having a sunny day. You know, when it rains, you go, oh, my God, it rains. But
right.
And if you, as a woman, we know that bodies hurt because, you know, we have periods, we have this, we have that.
Yeah.
But for somebody who never was sick, it was a real shock that his body could turn on him, and he was furious. He was angry.
Mm. So you're talking about shock. Here's a shocker for anyone out there that may not believe in life after death or in between lives or any of that, or spirits or channeling or any of that. Your husband's energy, soul, stayed around for a whole year and communicated with you.
Yes.
Emotionally and
he didn't
physically.
He didn't first just, he was trying to come to me, but the reason I think my book is interesting to readers is that I didn't trust it at all. But his son, my stepson, was hearing from him all the time. And it was Sam who would come to me and say, well, Dad is saying this and Dad is saying that. I mean, what he would say was, well, it's not as if he's really talking to me. I know what he's saying. And I have to supply the words. But with me, every time Dan's energy got around me, the feeling tone of him, the energy of him, made me miss him so much that I would just descend into mourning, to very, very, very thick mourning, and spirits can't get through that mourning. Last night, for instance, I had dinner with a woman who I mentioned briefly in the book, who's a teacher at North Hollywood High and whose husband came back to her about 6 months after he died and sat down on her bed. And she actually experienced the physical seeingness of him, which I never did. And she would tell people that, and they would just blow her off like she was crazy. But when she told me, I understood what she was talking about, and this is before my own husband died.
Right,
and
right.
So because I had dinner with her last night, she said, and she's 80 now and still actively teaching, and she's just a pistol. She said, it's now when people ask if I miss Dill, I say, no. I mean, but what I mean is that he's with me all the time. So that's not my experience. Dan is no longer with me. He's gone on to do other things. I don't experience him with me now at all. In fact,
I just want to let go of this opportunity. I just want to share that I, too, have had many experiences with family members passing away and speaking to me and speaking through me to their loved ones because their loved ones have been closed, that they haven't trusted what they have gotten. So over the past 6 years, since I awakened to the divine self, my true self that I always talk about, I have had many, many experiences. And this is not a belief. This is my own truth that what you're saying, I have experienced. And so just briefly, so you learn to channel through this because there's so much talk about it, and I would really like to get to many, many points here. So as he was channeling through you, you learn to channel and you started writing.
Well, I started writing. I mean, that's when I really connected. Because I am a writer, and when my husband died, he left me $180,000 in debt. I was 55 years old. I was about to have a nervous breakdown. And I thought, oh, my God, I've got to make a living. And because I am a writer, I thought, okay, well, I'll go back to writing the book I was trying to write before he died, which was called The Married Girl's Guide to Hot and Sacred Sex. Because one of the things I knew about the marriages around me, they were all crumbling. And they were all crumbling because they had stopped enjoying the coupleness of them. Because modern life takes so much energy that everybody gets into bed exhausted. And there's no time for making love. There's no energy for making love. And I wasn't going to let that happen because I got married at 42. I was a very sexual woman and he was a very sexual man. And we enjoyed that part of our love. And so I was writing this book. So I thought, okay, I'll go back and write this book. Because I'm a researcher, I got all of these married women together, professional married women who have children, who have kids, and I started to interview them. What do you do about grievances? Do you schedule dates? And as I'm doing this, it occurs to me, so it was only 4 months after Dan had died, it was in April, that I was of all these women, there were 14 of them, I was the only one here who was not married, and I was the only one here who was never having sex, at least with anybody who was alive, because that's one of the other things about my book, is that it talks about the dead husbands coming back to widows, which happens all the time, but I won't digress. But so I'm sitting there interviewing these people, and I just got so a feeling that I was getting the flu. It was that thick, and my body just started to shake, and I thought, oh, I have to go. And so I went home, and I went to sleep, and the next morning was a Sunday. Now, Sundays for me were the worst because there was no husband to hug and kiss and hold, or there was no possibility of that. And I'm sitting there writing in my journal, I miss him, I miss him. And then I went, wait a minute. If he were here, he'd probably be watching one of those stupid football games, basketball games, golf games, whatever, and he'd ignore me. So it teaches you right to die. And I got mad. And because my energy shifted out of the thick mourning, he was able to burst through, and I had a buzz in my ear, and I heard very clearly, put the pen in your other hand. Put the pen in your other hand. So I put the pen in my other hand, and it actually wrote out his initials, which I didn't recognize until years later when I looked at this. It said D-E-W, and then it said, you are my goddess, now and forever. We walked a life that allowed me to love more authentically than I ever have before. Forgive yourself for not being Superwoman, in that I couldn't save him, and forgive me for not appreciating you more.
Right. And Stephanie, I really got from this book that there was a lot of asking for forgiveness and a lot of apologies from him.
Yes.
A lot.
A lot.
All the way through.
I got the apology that every girl wants, right.
Oh, my God. It's so interesting. And what I also got, Stephanie and the listeners, is a lot of love, but with conflict.
A lot of conflict.
Love, what if? Love, I should have.
Yes. It's mainly because Dan, my darling, wonderful husband, had the belief that he had to be a great man. And that he had to save the world. And he comes back and he says, I don't know why I thought it was my job to save the world. But because of that, he was always outwardly focused. It was an ego thing. And there's a personality style called the leisurely style. Because I did work for the Neuropsychiatric Institute, I did make my husband sit down one day and take some personality tests. And he had what is called a bit of the passive-aggressive personality disorder, which means, you know, people who are, they want to do it their own way, and they'll show you. And so he asked me to marry him on the fourth date with the promise. The way the conversation went was, well, you really want to have a kid, don't you? And I said, I did, but I'm 42. It's too late. He said, oh, no, marry me, we'll do that. Now, I had not even kissed this man, and I was actually dating somebody else. At that moment, this somebody else who was up in up north and finishing off a movie called me, and I thought to myself, oh, my God, well, I've never had, I was 42, nobody's ever asked me to marry them. So I looked at him, and I went, you know, just sit right here, and he left. And I said, stay right here. And I had a scene to direct, and at UCLA, I was in film school. I said, stay right here. Let me try out the merchandise, because we had not kissed. And I got back from that night and I walked toward him, and we hugged for the very first time.
Mm-hmm.
And between the two of us, we made this weird, guttural, chirping sound that was so bizarre. But he came, and we pushed away, and we said, no, that was too weird. Literally, that was too weird. But that was our code. Mm-hmm. It was a code from the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what neither of us ever talked about that. But he came back, and he said, you know, that weird sound we both made simultaneously? That was the code that let us know that we were destined. And we were destined. And once I did get pregnant, there were babies waiting in 1970. They had to go find other places. But there was one baby waiting for us.
This story is so wonderful.
When I got pregnant, he didn't want the baby.
Just 1 minute, please.
Yeah.
This story is so wonderful, and I really get your passion for it, but I need to take this opportunity to reintroduce you to all of our guests that may have just joined us. You have been listening, or you are listening to right now, to Infinite Love Radio. I'm Michelle Morvati, your host. Our guest today is Stephanie Risley, who's a hypnotherapist and author of Love from Both Sides. She's been talking very openly and very lovingly about her healing with lupus and how her lifestyle changes, diet changes, supported her to heal from such a traumatic disease. And about her book, where her wonderful husband passed away and still communicated with her in between lives. And How? What is your intention, Stephanie? What is your intention through this book? I just like heard someone say, what is her intention? Like, what message do you want to give out to the people?
To appreciate what is. That the person that, I mean, I just got an email from a friend, and she said to me, she said, oh, I'm so much less fussy with my darling husband. I let him be. And it's kind of like we want people to be what we want them instead of just enjoying them for who they are. And it's just about love. And I'm just finding so much connection with couples that have made, instead of just enjoying the love that they can give one another, which is the purpose of our being here, it's to accept who we are and truly love ourselves for who we are. And that's what I do in my hypnotherapy. Mostly in my hypnotherapy practice, I help women lose weight. And
yes.
By the about month four, they go, this isn't about my weight at all, is it? And I go, no. This is
about
self-love,
right?
Loving
self-love,
you.
Self-love, self-acceptance,
yeah.
Self-value.
And valuing yourself and making your own self important. A lot of women in particular think that if they self-sacrifice for everybody else, that's the way to get love. It's like holding out a cup and saying, fill my cup, fill my cup. And so at the end of the day, they walk to the ice box and they fill their mouths up because nobody's going to fill them that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process of getting love from the core and getting love from your own core and not being a vampire about it. A lot of people want to get love from the other person. You can't get love from the other person until you get it from yourself, until you accept who you are. Really accept who you are for all your faults, for all, you know, nobody's perfect here.
Right, right. And once we do, what happens? We accept ourselves, we're at peace with ourselves, we live in the present moment.
Yes,
and everything
that's what the Buddha taught. If everybody could just get on the Buddha path and go, but that's, of course, all of his followers wanted to be self-important and they changed his message.
Right.
But all the great teachers, they do that. So we just have to keep giving the messages again and again and again.
Right, right. Stephanie, just going back to your book, there was, you know, several lines in there that really caught my attention. One is your beloved late husband saying his reason to live, he says, I lost my reason to live, and you knew it was killing you.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask you, maybe the listeners are also curious here. He lost his reason to live. Is that what possibly caused him to get sick?
Well.
Or was it his time to go?
No,
anyway.
that's a really good question. And, he made choices in his life that instead of becoming the person that he wanted to be, he was trying to impress other people. I mean, he became a lawyer when he hated being a lawyer. He thought that would impress his mother. He made choices that weren't in line with his soul, and he could have changed the direction of his life at any time, but he didn't. And he didn't believe enough in his own self, and he was a very strong man. And because of that, and because he literally, when the progression is because I had built a kind of a belief system of determined optimism. I had come from such a devastatingly destructive past that I just walked away from it, and I created my own life, and I got myself into film school against all odds, and I was very, very pleased with myself. When I met my husband, I just won a screenwriting awards, and I just worked at, I was about to work at Disney, and I was very pleased. And when I got pregnant, it looked as if I was going to have everything I'd ever wanted. I used to do these goddess ceremonies based on Shakti Galwain's work, and I would get a bunch of girls together, and we would create our own realities, and I was going to get it. And when I got pregnant, I was thrilled. That was the baby, because loving is so important, and I knew this baby was waiting for me. She was talking to me all the time. And then I found out that I was pregnant, I was literally on the phone with a friend from film school, and I said, "Raman, I'm pregnant." And he goes, "Oh, my God." And he's jumping up and down because he knew how much I wanted a baby. And I hung up the phone and called my husband at his law office, and I said, Dan, I'm pregnant. And there's an absolute silence on the other end. And my heart broke because I realized at that moment he didn't want the baby. He had lied to me to get me. He had lied. And
he didn't want it because he was unhappy himself. Let's like really tune in here. Really be specific so that the listeners can get what you're saying. He didn't want the baby because he was unhappy himself?
Michelle, I am having such difficulty hearing you.
Oh, okay. So your husband didn't want the baby because he was very unhappy himself?
Because he'd already had a baby. He'd had Sam. And at that point, I think Sam was 17 or 18, maybe he was 18, he was already in college. And he'd already had him, and so he didn't need another baby. And so he didn't want that baby. Well, that baby, as a soul, was pissed off, and she left. I miscarried at 3 months. And that's a pretty stable, I think it was almost 3 months pregnant. And but I was determined to get pregnant, and so I did what any other sensible 43 or 44 at the time. I went to one of the fertility doctors here in Los Angeles in Beverly Hills, and he put me on all the drugs. I mean, he's put me on Clomid and Pergonal. And even though I said, his name was Dr. Weinberger, I think, I said, I've had lupus. Don't you think it might be a problem for me? And he said, no, go ahead. You can take these. Well, I started to take these drugs, and I got sicker and sicker and sicker.
Oh, of course.
And I got full-blown lupus again.
Wow. Yeah, I was told that I should not get pregnant. Yeah, not that I had any intention to do so, but I was told not to.
Yes.
And I had a friend, actually, who had two children or three children, and she had lupus that affected the heart. Her doctor told her not to. She had a baby. The baby had lupus. She got sicker. So, yeah, we got to be really careful here when we have a disease and taking medication and bringing another life into this.
Well,
this world,
it happens on a physical level. Those drugs were really destructive toward my kidneys. I was nearly dying. But then the flip came. And the flip is, I think there's a corporate structure up there. We all have oversouls, and we all have guides. And my oversoul and his oversoul had made a deal together to come in together and be male and female in this lifetime. In point of fact, apparently I usually come in as a guy. That's why I love being a girl so much.
Ah.
It's so fun. But we had come in and specifically to express our love as a male and a female. And we had agreed, and we were going to meet in 1970 and do a lifetime together. And my stepson, Sam, would have been my own son. And we're still very close. And then I might have had other children. But because I didn't meet him, my husband, Dan, at that time, I was on hold for 20 years. I'm not a bad-looking woman, and it was really getting to be annoying to have people look at me and say, "Well, you're so pretty. Why aren't you married?" And the unsaid thing there was, "You must be a real terror."
Oh, wow.
So it was always very embarrassing to me that I'd never gotten married, at 42.
Right, right.
So anyway.
Stephanie, but you say it's very embarrassing for you, but Dan says, "You were always my most beloved wife from all of my life." You know, he has a very nice sense of humor.
He does.
Always have a sense of humor?
He did have a sense of humor.
His book is full of comments. "You are my most beloved wife from all of my life." And then he also said something like that.
No, and somewhere, then I said, "I bet you say that to all the girls."
Yes, yeah. And somewhere towards the end of the book, he also says, where about your doing your writing your book and typing and all that, "You do your work because no one up here can type."
Right.
So he has, wow, what a sense of humor. For all the listeners, this book is really, really fascinating. Stephanie is very open. I mean, now we're talking about a lot of stories here, but there's a lot of learning where you will awaken you will awaken to other dimensions. You will awaken to, and you will expand your mind. This is what I'm getting, Stephanie. You will expand your mind as you're reading this book.
I think that's what the, what readers email me and tell me at when they read the book. I keep getting these emails. I read your book in one sitting, and now I've got to read it again. The progress of the channeling becomes the thing about Dan coming back to me is that once he got comfy, it was like he wanted to like stay. It was like truly, madly, deeply. I don't know if you ever have seen that beautiful movie, but
no.
It's about somebody who is in deep mourning, and who her lover comes back, played by Alan Rickman. I'd have let him come back too, and he moves into the house, and then he becomes a regular pill, and ultimately she has to move on because living is for the living, and being dead is for the dead. You have to move on, and I ultimately had to let him go. I kept him here by loving him so much.
So true. And Stephanie and all of our listeners, towards the end of the book, I love what he says here. I scream from this reality to not ever let fear get to you.
That's is so important.
That's the answer. No matter what happens, just look it in the eye and know that you have the skills to untangle any mess. You have the skill. It's what you're programmed to do. Just do it.
Oh, yeah. So it's easier heard and said than done. But there were so many months when I couldn't pay the rent. And I would sit there quaking, going, oh, my God, what am I going to do? And Michelle, out of nowhere, something would show up. That's a whole other book of just trusting the universe that if you do what you are intended to do, you will be supported. And I feel so blessed now because I still live on the edge, but I was just evicted from that beautiful house that I lived in on Drexel, and because the energy there had turned very hostile. And I knew I needed to get out of there. And I literally stamped my foot, and I said to the universe, show up now. I opened my eyes, and there was a sign that was nailed to a tree, and I'm now standing in Rita Hayworth's old apartment. I have the universe showed up. I say to my clients, you have to ask. You must ask the universe for what you want. Don't be wishy-washy. Focus on act, and don't be afraid. That's the key to life. I mean, so much sorrow comes from fear. And, of course, you know, we've all been manipulated in the last 6 years by this fear.
Sure.
And fear is an energy.
Wow.
It takes us out. And
it's
from the brain.
Wonderful show. With apologies, we have so much to talk about, but unfortunately, our time has come.
Oh, it is okay.
There is so much to talk about, and I really get your passion when you talk. You let it come, and you're very passionate about it. And we really appreciate you. Just one liner. Do you have anything to say to the listeners before we close?
Just appreciate the person who you think who is in bed with you now. That love, that is your soulmate. And love, just love what is. It's the only answer. And don't be afraid of your life. Step up, enjoy what is, and we will make it through this time. It's going to be an interesting time for all of us.
Wow. Thank you so much. We really appreciate
you. Oh, thank you so much, Michelle.
It's been a pleasure. I bless you in your journey, making a difference for all of us. We really appreciate you. Thank you so much, and best wishes, and much love for you, for your hypnotherapy work, for your book, sharing all of your heart openly, and whatever life has in store for you. Thank you very much. Bless you. Thank you. And that's Infinite Love Radio for this week. Next week, please join us as our wonderful guest is Robert McDowell. He's the author of Poetry as Spiritual Practice, Reading, Writing, and Using Poetry in Your Daily Rituals, Aspirations, and Intentions. I invite you to join us next week and every week as we have more and more inspiring guests. For now, I invite you to breathe in infinite love into your body and breathe out infinite love and give it to the whole world, for we are all one. And don't forget to visit our website, www.infiniteloveradio.com, and download free guided meditations and insights, as well as the beautiful opportunity for you to sign up for my Universal Daily Insight, which will help you support your day connected to yourself, your love, your being, and to the universe outside of you. Please sign up www.spiritualityinsideandout.com/insights. As well, as always, I invite all of your questions and suggestions to michelle@spiritualityinsideandout.com or michelle@infiniteloveradio.com. Thank you for being present with us. I bless you all. Infinite Love Radio, I'm Michelle Morvati again. Thank you. Until next week, love and blessings to you all. Good day.